right, let's stand to our feet. I love standing when I read God's word, so let's stand to our feet real quick. We're going to go to Exodus chapter 15, verse 22. While you're looking for that, I'm going to pray. This is for myself. Father, I come to you right now in the name of Jesus, and Lord, I need you. I sure thank you that you decided to use me today, and Father, I pray right now that the word that you have given me in secret will set people free publicly. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen, and thank God. Let's read. Exodus chapter 15, verse 22 says this. It says, then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in the desert for 3 days without finding any water. Say water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was bitter. Say bitter. It was bitter to drink, so they called the place Marah, which means bitter. You may be seated. For the next few minutes, I'm going to preach from the sermon title, if you like to write this down, The Necessity of the Wilderness. The children of Israel have been set free from bondage. They have been delivered from captivity, and now they have crossed the Red Sea. They have witnessed a miracle from God, but now they're thirsty. Let's think about this. God delivers the people into thirst. He delivers them into a need. He delivers them into a place that's foreign to them. He delivers them in a place that is seemingly deserted. Many of us, what does that mean? Many of us have come to these altars, or have come to some altar in believing that if God is God, when I give my life to him, it should have got better. It should have got easier. I shouldn't still be upset. I still shouldn't be angry. I shouldn't have went through the divorce, because when I went through it, I was saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, dancing and jumping and shouting, but I had my worst day ever. Mm-hmm. Some of y'all have been there. I've paid tithes. I've came to church. I prayed hard, but I still lost my job. I still lost my child to prison. I still lost my mother to cancer. But I'm saved, though. A chosen people called out before the foundation of the earth, and yet I'm still hurting. A lot of us preach Exodus, and we speak about the children of Israel as if they was faithless. That was part of it, but they were afraid. They were afraid to trust God. They were in a foreign place, over a million people, and need water. Delivered, but thirsty. Now let's just think about this naturally. We can go almost 30 days without eating, but only about 3 days without water. They're walking 3 days in this wilderness. They're thirsty. Their lips are chapped. The desert is starting to make them delusional. And they're asking, where is salvation? Where is peace, Moses? You rescued me, but yet I'm still in a bad state. What is a wilderness? A wilderness is a place that's uncultivated, which means that you're not an expert in it. A wilderness is a place that's uninhabitable, which means that the people that was with you leave you sometimes in your wilderness because it looks like there's no fruit there. Mm-hmm. A wilderness is a place that was seemingly supposed to be good, but now it looks like disasters. Have you been there? What do you do in your wilderness? How do you respond in the wilderness? Let's look at this. First of all, the Israelites that went into were not the ones that came out. So you're going into this wilderness, or you are currently in a wilderness, but the purpose of your wilderness is not to destroy you, it's to change you. Are you hearing me? A lot of us are in the wilderness saying, God, let me out of here. But he said, if I let you out of there, you won't learn nothing. Any parent in here knows that if you give a child a gift premature before they learn how to respect it and love it, they'll tear it up. So a lot of us are praying for promise, but we don't understand it. If God gives it to me now, mama, I'll mess it up.
So now I'm stuck in this wilderness. I'm stuck in this place. And God is telling you this morning, maybe you're there not because I want you there, but because you refuse to change your perception about your wilderness. Are you hearing me? It ain't your daddy's fault that you're in the wilderness. It's not your mama's fault that you're in the wilderness. It's not that you lost your job's fault that you're in the wilderness. It's that you refuse to change your mind. Somebody say mind. Say change my mind. I want out of this wilderness, but you must first relinquish the right to your mind. The children of Israel that was in the wilderness are not the ones that come out. How do we know that this is true? Well, if you go to Sunday school and you read Exodus, we know, Pastor Lowe, that when they got there, there were these two dudes named Joshua and Caleb. They sent 12 spies out, sir, to look over the land that God had promised them. Joshua and Caleb come back full of faith and say, sister, we can take those giants. We ready. The 10 begin to murmur and say, you can't recover over a divorce. The 10 start to murmur and say, bankruptcy, there's no recovery over bankruptcy. The 10 start gossiping and saying, you lost your job. It's time to throw in the towel. You can't make it if that happened to you. But the two, say the two. Say, I'm part of the two. They say, we can take this thing. So God, because of his consistent goodness, tells Moses, let me tell you something. All the naysayers gonna die. And all the faith-filled believers will see the promise. So in the desert, we don't see lack in the desert. God provides. The Bible says that their clothes never tore up, that their shoes never tore up. They ate good food in the desert, but they wouldn't change their mind in the desert. Is that my problem? That I'm blessed beyond measure, but I still have a dirty mind, a tricky mind, a lying mind. Let's look at something else. He doesn't just have provision in the promised land. He also has it in the wilderness. I used to hear my grandmother say he's a waymaker. He's a burden bearer. He's a heavy load sharer. Y'all been to church. Don't act like you ain't been to the old Baptist churches where they say that he'll get up underneath the load with you and pack it with you. So you're looking for God's promise, but you're neglecting that he's feeding me now. You sitting here in this air condition is the proof that God is good. Your wilderness should have killed you, but you're here. Your storm should have took you out, but you're here. I want you to start getting some confidence when we walk out of here today and say, Satan, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. Because I'm not excited about the promise. I'm excited about this wilderness. Because the wilderness is going to teach me something about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Somebody say provision. Say it's in the wilderness. Oh, my God. But this is the question. If since God is providing in my wilderness, am I complaining about what he's providing? Oh, that hurts somebody right there. You got a car, but you want another. You have healthy children, but you're mad at your husband. I'm about to get on your street in a minute. You got a house, but you're praying for another. Okay, I ain't got nobody here. You have a job, but you saying, God, get me out of here, as Pastor said, because of the people. I found one of you. You're complaining, and he's blessing you every day. I told my wife the other day, I said, baby, you ever hear people say, you know, I'm living month to month? Y'all heard that. I said, but then God said, but son, there's people that's living day by day. If you're living month to month, I mean, you have 30 days of food, house, clothing, etc. But you want the luxury that not even the children of Israel or Christ had. They depended on God daily. We have bigger bones, and we're trying to tear those down to make bigger bones. But God is saying he's providing, but are you complaining about what he's providing? Why is this important? Is because one of the original sins of man, if you read your Bible and you go to Genesis, Eve's sin was a sin, and Adam's sin was a sin of telling God what you have provided is not enough. Some of you say, if I had a perfect family, I'd serve God.
If I had money, I'd serve God. If this didn't happen to me, I'd serve God. But that's a lie, because there was a people that was in a perfect situation, serving a perfect God, that still complained. Mm-hmm. But I know that's not you, though. Let's keep moving. Everything I need is in the wilderness. Say, everything I need is in the wilderness. Say it again. Everything I need is in the wilderness. Reason why is because God is here. And if God be for me, come on, you know scripture. There you go. Who can be against me? Now let's look at this right here before we move on. The process is equivalent to the promise. Say promise. Now watch this. I'm a school teacher. I've never seen a first grader tell me next year I'm a graduate. Now, that's funny, but a lot of us are telling God, I'm tired of my wilderness, it's time for graduation. But he's saying there has not been enough preparation for you to obtain graduation. Now, if you humble yourself, transform your mind, and start looking for learning experiences in your wilderness, rather than looking for a way out, maybe you'll be promoted. If not, you're going to repeat this wilderness again. Are you hearing me? If you don't learn in your wilderness, you'll repeat the same thing over. That's why some of us have had the same type of man in their life with different faces. Because you refuse to change your mind. Self-inflicted wounds. But I know that's not you. One must understand that in order to see God's promise, we must first solve our mental problems. In other words, you have the responsibility of renewing your mind. Renewing my mind. Repenting daily of what I thought I was and who I thought I, or what I think I am. Do we understand that? So let's move. Let's get through this. So now that we know how not to handle the wilderness, don't be complaining. Don't sit down. Keep pushing, keep praying. We must see an example of someone that did that. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. It's the first gospel. Matthew chapter 4. Let's get there. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. Now, we're going to go through verses 1 through 11, so keep your Bibles open. Let's go through this together. And it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? Did the devil lead him there? Talk to me. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit led him into the wilderness to be what? Tempted or tested. There by the devil. Stop beating yourself up thinking you're the reason for your wilderness. Sometimes after we give our life to Christ, we are led there by the Spirit to be tested. How do you know you have patience unless you have to be patient? How do I know I'm committed unless I have to be committed? This is very interesting, but because before Jesus goes into the wilderness experience, guys, he has the greatest display seen in Scripture. He's baptized, a dove falls on him, and then what happens? The sky opens, and God says, this is my Son in whom I'm very pleased. As soon as you gave your life to Christ, the sky split open, and God said, that is the blood. There he is. That's my Son in whom I'm very pleased. And Satan said, Lord, let me test him. Let me test her. Let me really see if they down. But let's watch somebody that loves God. Then it says this, for 40 days and 40 nights he fasted and he became very hungry. Say hungry. During that time the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Satan is speaking to many of us today saying, if you are who you say you are, do for yourself. Notice that Satan didn't tempt him with anything that he didn't want. That's our first thing. Your temptation is always determined on your desire.
If women not your problem, stop telling me you overcoming people trying to get you. The problem may not be that that's your problem. Maybe you can't get a woman no way. It's funny to me when people tell women, hear what I'm saying, my wife is very beautiful. So I gotta fight with her, fight men off of her all the time, right? But it's amazing to me, we tell people to do or overcome things you overcome that wasn't your problem in the first place. For example, I don't cigarettes ain't my problem. Wasn't my problem. But old party time on Saturday and alcohol, that was a problem. Women were a problem for me. So Satan in my testing always offers me what he thinks I still want. In my strongest moments, and I'm going to the corner store to get my wife some ice cream, I see that Bud Light back there. And it's sweating. It's cold, man. And then they put some in ice. And he said, look at that, man, it's not illegal. The Bible don't say you can't drink. It ain't sin to drink. You just gotta do it with care. Be careful. Moderation. They say a glass of wine is good for the heart. And I start thinking, yeah, you right. It's been a you right. You see some woman that comes up to you and she, how's your day? Oh, it's good. She's so nice. And they say, yes, she is. You should ask for that number. Maybe I'll do that, Satan. Yeah, you should do that, man, knowing that you got a problem with women. He'll never offer, watch this. Satan does not come roaring and yelling at you. He comes subtly. He comes subtly. He'll give you just a little bit, and you take that, then he give you a little bit more, and you take that. And the Bible says that he's as light and he as a roaring lion, which means that he tries to give him the same characteristics as God. He gives himself, I'm light. I don't want to hurt you. Eat some more chitlins and pig feet. I know that's bad for your blood pressure, but hey, you only live one time, eat that. Don't wear your seatbelt. For what? It hurts around your neck. Say he's trying to kill you and you just acting all the, you know, you don't take my pie from me. He's trying to kill you because he cares. He does not care if you make it to heaven. He cares if you bring heaven to earth. He don't want your mind to change. So let's keep going. I got to get through this. So it says, he challenges Christ's identity, and then he offers him what he wants to fulfill his physical desires. In the wilderness, if you depend on your flesh, you'll fail. Are you hearing me? If you depend on your mind and your reasoning, you will fail. Are you hearing me? Okay, let's read verse 4. But Jesus told him, no. After Satan says, take care of yourself, Jesus tells him, no. How many of us tell to say no? Just think about it. Don't raise your hand. How many times a week does Satan offer you something and you say give it here rather than saying no? No. But then he tells him why, he says. And he said, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus depended on the word. But not just what he read on paper, but what he heard from God. Do you have a place in your life that you can get where you can hear from God yourself? Pastor Lo and the elders, we're not going to be here every day. We're trying to teach you how to hear from God yourself. You have to understand that he ripped the veil that you can have access to live off the rhema or the right now word. What is God saying right now? It's a possibility. Jesus tells him, I don't want to eat. I want to hear from heaven. Praise God. It's getting good to me already. Then the devil took him to a holy city of Jerusalem, to the highest point, guys. Check this out. Watch Satan. This should make you laugh. He said, if you be the son of God, jump off.
That's good advice.
Jump off if you're the son of God. Go ahead now. Then watch Satan get all in his Bible. He says, for the scripture says, Satan know the Bible. He gets in the Bible, he says, he will order his angels to protect you, and they will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. Jump off! That's what the Bible says. Now, he misquotes the Psalms right there, but Jesus, since he went to Bible study in Sunday school like a good old Jewish boy should, he said this, the scripture says, you must not test the Lord your God. Look at Jesus, know his Bible. He know what God is saying currently, right now. This gets me excited because this testing is this. When God tells you to do something, and in your moral, cool self, you try to tell God what you're going to do and what he going to do when you do it. That's the testing part. Jesus is saying, I'm not going to throw myself off because that's not part of the mission. Are you hearing me? So Jesus, God will be telling you, hey, just join a small group. And he say, no, I'm a tithe. I'm going to sow $600 instead, Lord. That's what I'm going to do. That's what you really want from me. He said, okay, I asked you to join a small group. But, Lord, I really don't like people. And they're so small, Then join a small group. Pastor, I don't know why I'm not getting my change. Well, have you went to small group? No. Have you went to Growth Track? No. And you want to change your life? Yeah, because I know Lord's going to give me a change. The Lord says you have to follow instructions. Know the word. Say, know the word. Follow instructions. Don't test them. Oh, okay. Yeah, I learned something. Let's keep going. What are we going to do? So, when Satan says something, we must examine it closely. Because sometimes he speaks and it sounds like truth. All right? Sometimes. But we have to examine it and say, God, what are you saying? Is this you? Is this you? Quick example. I know a lot of women that stay in marriages getting beaten and neglected because the Bible says you can only marry in the sake of what? Adultery. So since he ain't committed adultery, I'm just stay here and keep getting beat up. We've seen this before. But what is God saying about this? What are you seeking God's voice? Or are you just looking at the word? Are you hearing me? Okay, let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Okay. All right, so it said Jesus responded, you must not test the Lord God. Next, the devil took him to the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the nations of the world and their glory. I will give it all to you, he said, if you will kneel down and worship me. The audacity of Satan. He says, Pastor Sean, you know what? I'm going to give you a shortcut to what God's going to give you anyway. Isn't this amazing? You're going to make a deal with Jesus that you're going to give him what God already promised him. Do you know some of y'all are selling yourself short with shortcuts? Because when you get it, you ain't going to keep it. I said it. You're going to shortcut your way right back into the desert. That's what you're going to do. You're going to listen to Satan, and you're going to wander around 40 years because of a shortcut. So he tells Jesus, take a shortcut. Baby, he says, take a shortcut. Just go and worship me, and I can speed this process. You don't even got to go to the cross, baby. I give it to you. What did Jesus say? Jesus went back on him. Watch what he tells him after this shortcut. He said, man, get out of here. Satan. For the scripture says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Watch now. Then the devil went away and the angels came to take care of him. Is that in your Bible? Okay, so let's look at this right here. He tells him, get out of my face. I'm not worshiping you. Ain't happening. This is what you have to understand. Children of Israel, Jesus. When the children of Israel got delivered out of Pharaoh's camp or his kingdom, the Lord kept saying, let my people go that they may worship me or they may serve me. Romans 6 speaks of this too. It said that you are a slave to what you obey. So Christ, God, he delivers you to serve him. Are we hearing this? He is not delivering you for a house. He's not delivering you for stuff. He's delivering you for him. But in order for you to get him will, you got to die. So he's not interested in me living. He's interested in me dying that he may live, and that's true fruit. That's when you overcome wilderness experience right there. When you say, Lord, I know this is the hottest, hardest time of my life, but I'm going to keep on trusting you. Because listen, this is my second time in life anyway. I was in Pharaoh's imprisonment, but God came to save me. I don't care about you talking bad about me. I'm excited about what I got offered to me. Oh, my goodness. You can sit there like he ain't been good to you if you want to, but God's been good to me. I should have died. But God, my goodness, woo! Oh man, yes, sir. I gotta finish. Hold on, Albert. Woo! So it says that the angels came to restore him. God won't put more on you than you can bear. The angels come and they take care of him. You got angels for you. In Exodus, it says that the angels went before them, which means that the angels went before Albert, and they seen everything that Satan had planned for me. And he starts saying, Albert, stay on this line, boy, and just keep walking with me. I know people, your daddy gonna leave you. Keep on walking with me. I know time's gonna get hard, but keep on walking with me. I know that alcohol is gonna be an addiction, but keep on walking with me, because if I keep walking with him, my God, he'll deliver me out of this wilderness. Yeah, I didn't have a daddy, but I had a brother-in-law. Hallelujah. It didn't shock God what my daddy did. It ain't shocking God what Satan doing in your life. He knows what's happening, and he'll send a replacement. Whew. Luke chapter 4. The end of that says this. 13 says, when the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next time. Say the next time. Say the next time. Stop thinking when you get out of it, he ain't coming back. Are you hearing me? Yeah, he coming back. But when he come back, we got something for him at the church. Now, yeah, we know how to handle our wilderness experience. You see that little fill in the blank notes in your program? Let's get there, because I'm running out of time. Let's get there. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, so we must what? Know, put no right there. We must know the word. Oh, man. Thank you, Lord. We must know the word. On Saturday, write down Psalms 119, 1 through 11. Y'all can read that at home. You must know the word. You must trust his plan. Don't tempt it. Trust his plan. It's worth it. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. The next one is, and serve and worship only him in our wilderness. We also have you have angels taking care of you. And then we have Satan will be back. I want to give y'all a text that brought me through my wilderness time and time again. Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Psalms chapter 23. Yep. Hallelujah. I'm about to show you something the devil don't want you to know. Now, I'm from the country, so every preacher in the country got an introduction, body, and a close. Y'all gonna help me close this, ain't you? You heard that before? You gonna help me close this thing, won't you? Hallelujah. Let's look at Psalms chapter 23. Your Bible says this. NLT says, the Lord is my shepherd. Oh, man, you ain't get excited enough. Your GPS ain't taking you through this wilderness. It needs to be battery charged. The Lord is my shepherd. And then it says this right here, I have all that I need. You got to get excited about that. I got all that I need. Then it says this, he lets me rest in green meadows. He lays me beside peaceful streams. Here it is, he renews my strength. That's that angel right there. When I want to give up, guess what God will do for you? He'll renew your strength. He'll give you a second wind. When you're about to give up, he'll strengthen you, won't it? He'll let you run a little longer, won't it? He says, he renews my strength. Hallelujah. Then it says this right here. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Here we go right here. Now, the old King James Version says, yea, though. But you know, we ain't got a little minor, so it says, even when. You got to give yourself an even when praise. Even when I have more bills than money, I'm going to praise him. Even when sickness is running through my body, I'm going to praise him. Even when I don't know what to do, I'm going to praise him. Even when I'm about to lose my mind, I'm going to praise him. Even when my kids walk out on me, I'm going to praise him. When the man divorces me, even when. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on trusting him. Hallelujah. 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 Act like you know him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even when I walk through my darkest valley, I will not be afraid. Why, Albert? For you are close to me. Beside me, your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. It was many nights I was afraid. But because of the prayers of a grandmother, and the prayers of a mother, and the prayers of a wife, and the prayers of a sister, I can say God is with me. Hallelujah. He's with me. And if God be with me, Satan, I'm not as scared of this wilderness. I'm going to make it out of this thing. Oh, hallelujah. He says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemy. This means the people that ran out on me, the people that talked about me sometimes, they now get to eat from the blessing that God gave me. The people that said I wouldn't beat nothing, the people that said I wouldn't graduate from college, the people that said I wouldn't be married 6 years, now I'm going to bless you because God has prepared a feast for us all. But then it goes right here. This should get you real excited right here. He said, you honored me, glory, by anointing my head. Hallelujah. He said, I'm in the wilderness, I'm in the desert, but I'm anointed. You just missed that right there. I'm in the wilderness, you in the desert, but you are anointed. You better get on your, you are in the wilderness, you are in a desert, but you are anointed. You are in the wilderness, but God's power, the same spirit that rose Christ from the dead, is in me right now. Said, Albert, don't be afraid, boy. You're anointed in your wilderness. You're anointed in your wilderness. But then he says this. He says, boy, my cup run it over. My cup run it over in the wilderness. God's provision is so mighty that I'm in the wilderness blessing people. Hallelujah. Surely, 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 goodness and mercy or unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. Here we go. I will live. You will live, you won't die. You will live, you coming out of this. I will live in the house of the Lord. How long? How long? How long? How long? Forever. Hallelujah. Praise God.